Welcome back to Bluegrass Bios on WLXU LPFM Lexington Community Radio. My name is Kyle Bigelow. I'm still in studio with Benjaneer Wolf.
Hey, Kyle.
And our one and only guest host, Dr. Alex Estrada. You know what? Hey. As long as we have him, we don't need another one.
Love it.
In fact, when are we going to consummate this marriage? Is this going to be like a regular thing?
It depends how you want to consummate it. I mean,
I want to consummate it.
This makes me nervous, you know.
Yeah, I wanted to. Can I tell our listeners to expect you on a weekly basis?
Well,
you always have to take it to a dirty place.
Only if I'm compensated in cold beer after the show.
Okay, well, compensated by who? We'll call Deborah. I'm sure she'd be more than happy. All right, so we are waiting for Bryant Carter, the guitarist and vocalist of the Bryant C Project, to come in studio. Did you figure out whether or not he's bringing a guitar, Ben?
No, I didn't, but I hope he did.
Okay, well, we're hoping that's the case. He has a new single out called The World's Gone Away. It's available on iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, and more. For more information, you can go to The Bryant, with a T, BryantCProject.net. So, in the meantime, the in-between time, since I went to the Talib Kweli show last night at the Lyric, I thought maybe we could talk about that for a minute. In fact, Ben, why don't you chat? Talk for a second while I switch mics.
Well, Kyle, first tell our audience who the artist you saw was, okay. Is, and why.
I never heard
why
of him.
Is he's why explain. Is he important to you, and why is your voice sore?
Okay, my voice is sore.
You're a groupie, weren't you? You were screaming.
I'm a very big fan of his style, and you know, if anybody who's been listening to this show for a while knows that Divine Karama is a friend of the show, hip hop artist and social activist, and his style is very knowledge oriented. He's a lyricist. He teaches creative writing and poetry at the Lyric during the summer. He goes to schools all the time and teaches them the power of words. So he is very opposed to what this burgeoning style of hip hop is, which is, as he explained to us, called turn up music, right? Mm. So stuff you'd hear in the club. Lil Jon, kind of like, you know, very guttural or misogynistic or gangster type of rap. He does.
Or just vacuous. It's partying. It's going out. It's buying a car.
His words are very much the antithesis of that.
Yeah.
He puts a lot of thought into what he writes, and he comes from this school of thought that is Talib Kweli, Common, you know, early Kanye West, if you want to go there, Nas even. And these are the people that I grew up listening to, the people that got me turned in onto hip hop to begin with. So I wasn't as familiar with Talib Kweli, actually, but Divine killed it. He was just walking around at the front of the house before the show, just in a white t-shirt and ball cap, and he is the first feature act that comes out, right?
Okay.
He's got this big gold crown, and I don't know if it's the... Is it Dashiki the hat? Is that the head covering, or is that the...
I thought the robe thing.
Right, okay. He's got the dashiki on, and he comes out, man, and just looks like a king. And that's part of his new album that's coming out on October 27th is called King Tucky, so it was kind of a play off of that. And he did three or four songs in his set. Got the place pumped up. There's a guy that I had never seen before called Shiesty Christ, who he did his entire set from like the seats, so he wanted everybody to come in, and at one point had a mosh pit going, which I guess the three Stella Artois convinced me that I wanted to be a part of that. And now I'm very much
reliving
sore.
Your youth.
I'm very much sore today. And then there was another group that was sort of like the odd man out. It was kind of turn up and like a lot of swearing, a lot of N words, and all this stuff. But then Talib came down. He did a lot of music. Okay, we've got Brian Carter in right now.
Hey, Brian.
So,
yeah, come on in.
Yeah, hang on a second. We're going to reconfigure this. Actually, Brian, you're going to sit where I am right now, and I'm going to go sit over there by Ben. So hang on just a second, people.
Hey, Brian, good to see you.
Hey, glad to see you too, man.
Glad you make it in. And so it was just you and me the first time you came in. So you don't know Alex. This is Alex.
Nice to meet you.
And this is Kyle.
How you doing, man?
Good to meet you, man.
It's good to meet you.
Hey, thanks.
So glad you could make it. I know you had to make
man.
Little special arrangements, some time off.
Oh, hey, but it was time worth off it, for though.
Us. Yeah. Oh, good.
Definitely
good.
Worth it. Definitely worth it.
So what have you been up to the last few months since we last saw you?
Well, since last, right after that, we started back playing some shows. I'd gotten a new lineup for the band together and gone back out and played a I think shortly after that, we did a show out in Mount Sterling.
Okay.
This place called Event 88. And, we played the Beer Cheese Festival in Winchester back in June.
Okay.
That was pretty cool. And we also played the...
How was the beer cheese?
It was... Well, I didn't even try any beer cheese. We got to close it this year.
Oh, okay.
This was the third year we got to play it. And each year we've played it, we've been bumped to a later slot. And this year we got to close it. And it was real nice.
Is that the premier spot? Do you want to be the... Is that what you want to do? Do you want to be the closer for that
kind of thing? It was... as long as we get to play... It's good, but it was kind of an honor, you know, to be like the, you know.
Yeah, I was like going to say, is that like a desired slot,
yeah,
you know, to close out
cool.
a show?
Yeah.
Sounds,
it was nice, though. I like that. And about a week after that, we played this thing called the Friday Night Concert Series at the Clark County Public Library was having in Winchester. So that was cool, too.
Very good.
And that was pretty much where every Friday for the month of June, they would have a different artist come and play. And there was, like, a food truck. And kids get out there and everybody. And, you know, it was pretty cool. And
What did you learn? Are you getting a sense of what your fan base is and who your fans are? Do you start seeing some of the same faces over and over?
Yeah, you do. It's pretty cool when you start seeing like some of the same people because they come back and like what they heard and want to see you. Like at Beer Cheese Festival, my friend Brian, he was out there and he was hoping we were going to play the title track off that last EP I sent to you last time,
yeah,
Pay
yeah.
the Price. And
yeah,
we did that and... You know, but back as far as the fans go, I've mentioned Mount Sterling since I started playing out there. I picked up some fans out there, too. They got a cool little scene out there. They got this place called Event 88 where they have shows.
Yeah.
We'll actually be playing there again.
They're going to
have
15th.
Something called. Yeah. See? He's already ahead of me.
You're finding out he's on it.
That is
like,
cool.
He's above and beyond. He knows more about you than you do.
Oh, wow.
Well, on that note, we kind of have to reset because you can't assume that everybody's been listening or was listening 6 months ago. That's sort of the nature of radio.
Sure.
Give us kind of a rundown on who you are. You're from kind of all over, but primarily Maryland, correct?
Sure, yes.
You're 30.
31 now.
31.
See, it's been a birthday since then. I forgot to mention that.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
You're heavily...
Somebody else just had a birthday.
Yeah, big 42. Over
42.
The Jackie Robinson birthday.
That's
the,
right.
The big 42.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yes, and...
Awesome.
Kyle was nice enough to carry me home last Tuesday. Well, not home, but at one point he was carrying me.
That sounds like a song.
Sounds like a story.
It could be a song.
Sounds
like some lyrics.
Yeah. I could hear that.
You're a big 90s guy, heavily influenced by a lot of the music of the 90s.
Yeah, it was.
Right?
Yeah, definitely. Because, you know, that actually kind of ties into a lot, but it was, you know, growing up in the 90s was special to me because it, you know, the way things are now and back then is so much different, you know, and I just think things were a little more pure back then, and
It's funny how we mentioned it. You know, back then it wasn't that long ago. But I agree, things are way.
But yeah, right, they're different because I was talking to my little sister, and we were just.
Go now.
You want to keep thinking that, and it's like I was talking to her, and we were just talking about things, elections, and just things in life. And I told her, I was like, you know, it was nothing like this when I was your age coming up. I told her, I think I was like part of one of the last pure generations coming up before, you know.
Yeah, well, especially with
street
music.
Lights came on.
Yeah, and I know we, too, and it was, definitely. But it did used to be you were dependent on a record company if
exactly.
you wanted to be heard.
Yeah, well, but, like, what, that's another thing that's so different now. Yeah.
So, what genres of music inspired you from the '90s?
Oh, see, that's another thing. Like everything, the rock. I love the rock from the '90s. I love the rap and hip hop from the '90s. You know, the rock people were like Alice in Chains and Nirvana, and you know, Soundgarden. To you know, the rap of people like Tupac, Biggie, Bone Thugs and Harmony. Every you know, the pop back then, Michael Jackson, the R&B. You know. Everything was just more, you know, it just seemed a little more pure back then. Now, it's still good now. You know, I can't talk about stuff now because I'm a fan of a lot of new people out. But there's
who are some of your who are some of your favorites now that you like that kind of speak to you?
That band Arctic Monkeys. That's,
oh, yeah, yeah.
I love them. Their CD's been in my car, and sometimes I'll play it straight, like, just for a week or so. And, you know, I like them as far as some of the new rappers that are out.
Yeah.
I like the ones that are actually talking about something, you know, like J. Cole, Kendrick Lamar. I was listening to him at work the other day. And
I love Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah,
like, Kendrick. He's a real smart guy, and he's really talented.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Divine Karama? We're just talking about him.
Yeah, he was on last week.
The Talib Kweli show.
I heard about that, though.
Yeah, he's a local guy. He does a lot of charity work around here, too. And he's one of those people. He actually actively speaks against that just kind of turn-up music, the, you know, just kind of Little John whatever in the club. Just
no, really, the no message, concept. Really. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, shout out to him, and that's cool, especially, you know, being for a good cause. I mean,
that's,
like that.
That's what I like about the 90s. I mean, talk about, like, old school rap. You know, people like, you know, Biz Markie.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Slick Rick. That their songs, it's telling a story, and it's fun. And it's fun music.
Yeah, you know, it's stuff people can relate to, things they're going through. And I guess a couple of those guys just came back, mainly you know about Chuck D from Public Enemy and B Real from Cypress Hill with the band of Rage. They got Prophets of Rage going now. That's
really?
Like the Rage Against
that's amazing.
The Rage Against the Machine band minus Zach, and just put in B Real and Chuck D, and they got something going called Prophets of Rage.
That's a great.
And then Zach De La Rocha just put out a single like last week too, so it's cool to see all those guys like back out.
So now what we're seeing today is maybe a little bit more fusion of all the stuff that we saw in the '90s.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Well, we're talking with Brian Carter of the Brian C. Project. I want to go over all your stuff because you're out there.
Oh,
you got all this stuff out there. You're at the BryantCProject.net.
Yes, sir.
And you are the BryantCProject.bandcamp.com. You're on SoundCloud/TheBryantCProject. And you have a new single. You have a new track.
Yes.
And what was that called?
The World's Gone Away.
And what inspired you to write that?
So well,
it's really good. I really like it.
Thanks, man. That song was real special to me. I've always wanted to put out a song like that where, you know, where I can just kind of jam out a little bit. I wasn't in the mindset of radio single for that particular song, but I wanted to put out something that, you know, what I was feeling. And I actually started on that song about 2 years ago, but I never finished it, and it kind of lingered, like some of the lyrics.
Yeah.
I started back then, and I, you know, kind of put it down and pick it back up, and I finished it at the end of this year. And then I started working on the solo, because I, you know, the solo has sequences in it where sometimes I'm at home and I like to jam and I'll play those riffs, and I would think, you know, you never play that stuff on a song, though. So I was like thinking, you know, on this song, really put in there what you want to do, like what you would want to hear from someone, and it, you know, it just. It felt good to put that out finally.
Did you have some of the melody and the lyrics and then kind of stop and
I had them both actually.
Both
yeah,
up?
The melody and the lyrics started back in 2014. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of get tied up with something or something and I come back to it. But it was so important. Yeah. And I knew the song was so important that I took my time with it. I really, I didn't want to record it too soon because, you know, a lot of situations change in life and everything. I wanted to wait for a good time with everything in life to go on and put that one out. That's how important it was to me.
What do you think the block was that made you put it down for almost 2 years? Was it just the weight of importance to it?
I finished it a little after I finished that EP, Pay the Price, but I wasn't going back to do any recording yet, so I was just saying, okay, I'm going to mess with it, have it ready. And then, you know, we put a lot into the EP of Pay the Price as far as, you know, me and Jet Lane, as far as, you know, the promotion and different things and shows. So I kind of didn't rush it because I didn't want to get it jumbled in. But it wasn't going to be part of the album. I knew it would become a single, you know, later down the line. So I think that's why I just, you know, let time take its course with it. I knew the message I was going for with it. I always call it, I look at it as like a sister song almost to Can't Take It on Pay the Price. But a little more, you know, intense in different ways and, you know, different things like that.
Well, let's go ahead and play it for everybody listening. This is World's Gone Away.
Can I say for this life that we live, the world's gone away while we stay right here?
That's The World's Gone Away by the Bryant C. Project, and that's available on SoundCloud and iTunes and Bandcamp and all that.
Amazon, yes. Spotify, and more.
Yeah, and more.
Yes, all those. Thanks for giving it its radio debut.
Oh, was that its radio debut?
Yes,
oh,
it hasn't been out that long.
We got a couple firsts.
We've had
today.
A lot of firsts today. You know?
Yeah,
first
yeah.
First giveaway, the first radio
first
debut.
Radio
awesome.
Debut.
Okay, it's a good Friday, all right.
Now, what inspired, what was the direct inspiration for The World's Gone Away for it's, you?
It just ties in, the, you know, a little bit about what we were talking about earlier, how things are different, but it's just the world, the way I see it now, is it's gone away, it's strayed away from, you know, when I was younger and the way things are now, and it's even crazier now. I mean, you turn on the news with everything that's going on, it's like, yeah. what's happening? I mean, that's why I said in the song, you know, the world's gone away while we stay right here. You know, we're still here, but we just see so much changing around us, and it was just...
Do you think maybe the world's just been as this crazy as it's always been? We just know about it now because everybody's posting it. We have the internet and everybody's posting all their weird stuff.
Cameras on our phones, and you know that's another that's the other side of the coin. The you know look at it like that, but
now Brian, who recorded the bass on that song?
Actually, that's funny. You said that was the first time I played bass on a track.
Okay,
I had gone into the studio and. I was working with my buddy Josh at Spectrum Entertainment, and he plays bass as well, though he played bass on my first album. But, you know, I was laying the rhythm part down, and originally he was going to do bass, and, you know, I was feeling what he was doing, but then I asked him if I could see the bass. You know, it's a right-handed, so I just flipped it upside down because I'm a lefty.
Oh, that's right.
And I started messing around with it, and he was saying, man, that sounds good right there. If you want to go on and track it, you know, it won't hurt my feelings. So I was like, really? It's be my first time, so I went on and... track the bass for it, and you know I enjoyed it. It felt good.
Now, do you like laying down all the instrumentation one at a time, or do you like everybody playing all at once? How do you like to record stuff like that?
It's been different with different people. Like when I was recording with Jet Lane Productions, Freddie, he liked to start. He liked to have the drummer and guitar player get a take together, and then build the track from there. And you know, with Josh at Spectrum, you know, we'll do a scratch track. Well, we'll do scratch tracks at, regardless of where you're at. But after that, we'll kind of just come in and lay it one by one. You know, I'm cool with either way. You know, just as long as it gets captured right and everything like that.
Okay. And well, you said you played the bass on this. Who's who are some of the other members of the Bryant C. Project? What can you tell me about them?
Like, oh yeah,
We got Wayne Howard on bass.
Yes, Morton. Wayne Howard is actually the original bass player. He's been with me in this since the beginning of 2014.
Cool. And John the Tapper Walker.
Yeah.
on drums. I guess the Tapper's kind of self-explanatory.
Self-explanatory. Yeah, that's pretty much the original lineup right there. I mean, there's been a little bit of in and outs, you know, throughout it, a little experimentation with certain people, but that's the original lineup right there. That's the lineup that we went up to Newport, Kentucky and opened for Fuel with.
Great.
You know, John, he's a great guy too. I've known him for a couple years now. And yeah.
Well, what is it about playing together that makes your collaboration special to you? What is it when you play with somebody and somebody's playing the bass and you go, no, it's not that you're a bad bass player, but no, that's not us. And then somebody else comes along and plays bass and you go, that's it. What is it, even though they're playing the same thing? What is it about it that...
It's funny you said that, because I was talking to my bass player like a week ago or a week or two ago, and you know, he was out for a little bit and I had another guy come in. Wayne had some things going on, and shout out to... Jay Hammond as far as that as well for helping out.
Yeah.
But it's pretty much like when Wayne told me, he said, I didn't think you were going to find anyone to play it like I played it. He told me because he learned it from the record directly. And then he told me, he said, and I put some time in on it. He gave me a look when he said that. So I know he meant business. And, you know, I really appreciate that. But, yeah, it's like when they're playing it the way it was recorded, you feel it that much more. And that's what my drummer was telling me too, the Tapper. He was saying that, you know, when someone plays like the bass part, for example, via the way it is on the record, you feel it that much more. And I noticed it at rehearsal. And a buddy of mine was telling me one time, you know, he had the opportunity to audition for Sony Records some time ago. And he gave me a point, an insider, and he said, if you ever got anyone coming to scout you or, you know, check you out for something important, one thing they look for, people like that, is mm-hmm. that you play it the way it is on the record. You know, you don't go out and change this. And I mean, some people do it sometimes for fun, but when something like that, that's real important. And that's always stuck with me. And then, you know, realizing how much more I feel it when someone plays it the way it is on the record, it just all seems like the way to go.
So, you know, that when they get a sense of you and what you're trying to say and your rhythm and your beat. And
you got to give them what
they
paid
for. Could throw in, if you want to add in some little ad-libs here and there, that's mm-hmm. fine, you know, little things like that. But just, you know, mm-hmm. the basic structure, just keep the basic structure, you know.
Yeah. Hey. Bryant Carter, frontman for the Bryant C. Project. For more information, go to thebryantcproject.net. So, we just played your new single, The World's Gone Away, which is available on iTunes, Amazon, etc. I'm not familiar enough with the process of putting out a single. Does that mean that you are, I mean, is this like a teaser trailer to a full-length album that you've got going on, or do you expect to just continue to put out songs as you complete them? How does that work?
Yeah, recently I've been doing something a little different. You know, my first album was a full album I put out, and then I put out an EP. But recently I've been having some fun just working on a single and then putting it out. I've noticed a lot of other people in the business doing that right now, especially mm-hmm. as well, because, you know, back in the day, you had to get an album for that song. But now you can work on a whole album, but they can come and buy, like, track, what, 6, 5, and two, yeah. if they want, you know, which is fine, but I still believe in albums and I still love it. But what I'm doing with this is I have a certain number of singles in mind that I want to put out, including this one. Mm-hmm. And then once I have that amount, probably about 5 or 6, you know, maybe 4 or 5, I'm going to put them together mm-hmm. around the end of the year, because mm-hmm. I have more songs I'm going to be working on throughout this year. But about the end of the year, beginning of 2017, and I'm going to put all these songs together on an EP. After I put that out, then I'll probably go back in and do another album.
Do you think
so this is just a way to switch it up a little bit?
Yeah, do you think that's sort of the nature of the business? Albums are maybe getting a little shorter?
You know, I've seen it 50-50. I mean, some of my favorite groups out there have been putting out just singles at a time, mm-hmm. but then you've still got your people out there that look forward to an album also. So you got to look at both ways. One, speaking of albums, one thing I want to do is we got some shows we're working on booking soon, and some of these places let you record the audio live. And what I'd like to do, I haven't told anyone this yet, so I'm just announcing it here, but I want to, the Bryant C. Project live. That's an album that I want to do.
Oh, that'd be
soon.
Great.
You know, I want to get it captured at one of these places and then, you know, get the audio and go get it mixed and mastered, you know, get a cover put together and put it out there.
Oh, well, and you know, just the technology, you can do that yourself. You can do that home computer, a little audio tweaking and all that. You mentioned you made a music video for, was it for The World's Gone Away?
Well, no, yeah, I did put out a video recently. Before The World's Gone Away, actually the first single on this little trial of singles I'm doing right now was called Let Go. Mm-hmm. It was the song that came out after the Pay the Price EP and a song that came out before The World's Gone Away, but it's called Let Go, and it's also available on, you know, bryantcproject.net, etc. Mm-hmm. And, we shot a video for that with Spectrum Entertainment, and that's available on my website and YouTube. As far as The World's Gone Away, we've got something in mind, and I'll just say, you know, look out for that.
Was a music video just for you something that you kind of had to do or felt obligated to do, or is that something you were really looking forward to?
Some of that 90s influence in
You can't beat like the Spike Jones era of
exactly
music videos.
You know, you got to keep it going like that. And it was an interesting situation. I was looking forward to it because that made my fourth music video I put out. Mm-hmm. And Spectrum Entertainment originally came to me last year, and they're a company that was just coming together, and they wanted to test some things out, and they were curious about the amount of time it would take them to, you know, record a song for someone and do a video so they could measure it up, figure out, you know, mm-hmm. what fees would be involved for their future people. And if I was to work with them on that, they were just going to go on favor for favor. You know, mm-hmm. they'll do song and video for me. I'll help them figure this out. So I accepted the offer, and that's, you know, it was a good deal for me.
Sit down with them and sort of brainstorm, here's what I want it to look like, here's what we want to do, let's just do a performance, or should we get something
that's
artsy?
That's usually what I would do for videos. For this video, the producer He had like a storyboard in mind, and it kind of got changed a little bit. He was saying the original product from what he had in mind, but it still came out great. Mm-hmm. And I kind of just went with that. I was curious about what it was about. Once I got the information, I was comfortable with it, so I told him we can go for it. So that track was almost. I told him though, because you know that was a rare song. I did that song over a beat and added guitar to it, mm-hmm. which came over very well. But that song was closest to a collaboration I've ever done with someone as well, kind of, okay. could say in a way. But I wrote the guitar part and the lyrics for it, and you know, but yeah. I'd still say that one was kind
of... What was your least favorite aspect of recording the music video? Just as someone who's musician, and you know, and,
the
you know,
least
you,
favorite,
yeah, least favorite.
All right, we were shooting in Richmond one night, and we were shooting in Richmond behind this building. I mean, mm-hmm. it's the least favorite because it threw things back, but it was kind of funny. But we're back there behind this building, and there are these railroad tracks, and this crazy guy comes up with this backpack. It's like 9 o'clock at night, and we've got the video girl out there, the two guys from Spectrum, Dustin and Josh, and myself, and this guy's like, "Where are y'all from?" And someone mentioned where they were from, and he just started talking trash. And it got so crazy that we couldn't get anything done because he was freaking the girl out. And someone else heard, and the cops showed up. And
it was
the least favorite because he kind of messed up a night of filming that we could have shot.
Yeah,
but it was a good laugh. Like, months later, we laugh about that all the time.
Oh, you know what I say? Keep the cameras rolling and just shoot the
cops.
I
wish we had bloopers from that. I wonder where that guy is.
We're running low on time, but what dates have you got coming up? Where can people go see you?
Okay, the next show coming up is October 15th, and that will be for Court Day Fest in Mount Sterling at Event 88.
Okay.
And last night I was making some calls, getting some gigs booked, and I should be getting those dates back here soon. And I'd be happy to, you know, keep in touch. I'll shoot you an email or something and let you know when I have those as well. Just things in the Lexington, Frankfort, Louisville area.
What kind of venues around here, you think?
Around here, I go for the places that welcome original bands as well. You know, I respect the ones that want the cover bands, but, you know, I like the ones that still look out for the original. So I'd say, like, Manchester's.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit last time you were in. People are kind of looking for covers.
Yeah, that's why when I contact them now, the first question I'll ask is, you know, do you all welcome original bands or cover bands or both? And, you know, you run into some of both. I was talking to a couple places last night, and they were telling me how they like both. And Common Ground Coffee House seem like they're pretty cool. I was talking to them last night, actually.
Well, Brian, thank you so much for being here. Hey, love the new signal. And I think we've got Let Go queued up, because I think I've got that on your CD. You are at thebryantcproject.net, thebryantcproject.bandcamp.com. You're on iTunes. You're on SoundCloud. You're on YouTube. You're all over the place. Man About Town. Music, working musician.
Oh yeah,
and working man. Thank you so much for being here.
And before we go, just signing off for everyone. Kyle, Dr. Alex, and Ben. I want to thank again Chris Kimmel, the founder and president of Kentucky Science and Technology Corporation. We still, I would imagine, you can still get free passes to Idea Fest if you email idea@ideafestival.com with the subject line Bluegrass Bios Tickets. We're going to go to the Brian C. Project right now, and Lexington, have a good weekend. Remember how I felt when we first met? It seemed like a dream that I never met. But those days are distant and gone from now. You left me something else to get over, and I don't know how. No, I don't know how. You standing by the river, facing it like it's okay. I try to forget, but when I see you, it reminds me of yesterday. But you won't let me go, you swear you won't do no more wrong. I just wanna let you go, but I just seem to still hold on. You standing by the river, facing it like it's okay. Okay.
Toronto.